Another guy who was a badass in his life was the Marlboro Man. I remember the Marlboro Man. My dad smoked Marlboros, and you used to get these coupons inside the cigarette packs, right? And we had a box of these Marlboro coupons because my dad was a 3 or 4 pack a day guy smoking.
Oh, wow.
And he did it from the age of like 12 to like his 50s. And then he thought he was having a heart attack and he quit cold turkey. I don't know how he did it. And then he smoked again later in life and he got lung cancer. Go figure. But the Marlboro Man, who died at the age of 90 a couple years ago, never smoked.
Yeah, I knew that.
His name was Robert Norris. He was a good friend, Robert Morris, should I say. He was good friends with John Wayne. A chiseled, good-looking guy. Yeah. You know the Marlboro guy, the guy with the hat. Good-looking guy, the original guy. So when he canted his fame and fortune in 1961, the then 31-year-old selected this mountain haven to custom build a mansion for his growing family in Colorado. He was recruited by Marlboro in 1955 before the Surgeon General declared smoking a health hazard in 1964. And after 14 years with Philip Morris brand owned, he said he was setting a bad example for his children and quit the position. Then he died in 2019. So some 50 years after the cigarette-sponsored actor and rancher selected the plot, the 14,430-foot square foot mansion has been relisted for $8 million. It's got a beautiful... It's the kind of place... I know, it's not... And it overlooks Pike's Peak. It's beautiful. I mean,
That's not...
Normally, I look at these freaky celebrity pads and I'm like, okay. And I always tell my kids, you know, my Lila, her question yesterday was, you know, have you ever been in a mansion? I said, yeah, I've been in a mansion.
Yep.
And she said, where? And I said, well, I've been in Hugh Hefner's mansion. It's called a mansion. I did a remote at Hugh Hefner's mansion. I said, but I've also been in other big homes that I would consider mansions.
Yeah.
I said, I consider my house a mansion or my castle. She goes, really? And I said, well, yeah. I said, if you've got friends of yours that live in trailer parks, God love them, that's great.
No,
that's
yeah.
what they're happy
it's all
with.
Relative.
Whatever.
It's all
relative. They think our house is a mansion. So it doesn't really, the mansion doesn't mean size. I don't think there's a square footage that it has to be 14,000 feet to be considered a mansion, right?
Anything over 10,000 feet.
Yeah, but I'm always like, I don't need the room.
Right.
I mean, if we had 17 kids, okay. But I mean, most mansions, I mean, you have May just going in there dusting because no one's ever in the room. It's nice to have the basketball courts and all that stuff. It's got an ice rink, by the way, which is pretty weird.
Was he a big skater?
I don't know, but it's kind of strange.
That's a weird
one. And there he is right there. It's the Marlboro Man, the Marlboro Man.
No, I know. Was there a show picture of him when he was like 90?
No.
Has he ever seen when he was older?
It's a beautiful house.
You gonna buy it?
Sure.
It's $8 million. That's not bad.
No, it listed for $7.2 million in 2014, so it's fluctuated in price. But he's got this this big metal crypt looking sign that hangs in his house.
Yeah.
It says, by the way, the current owner is a land developer, Robert Oldak, and his wife bought the property in 2006 for $2.6 million and spent $5.9 million remodeling.
Oh, okay. So it's updated. New carpets.
The current sellers took it down to the studs, added an updated look, so maybe it didn't look like that. But he's got this thing, and it's a big plaque that's hanging over the fireplace, and it says, always keep your word. A gentleman never insults anyone by mistake. Never tell a lie. Then you don't have to worry about what you said. Don't look for trouble, but if you get into a fight, make sure you win it. Fun is the main thing. Don't complain. Complaining is what quitters do. If a man doesn't respect a woman enough to clean up his mouth, he doesn't respect himself. Be kind to children, old folks, and animals.
That's so Marlboro Man. Minus the smoking part. Right? Like, That's so cool. You got to have a cowboy hat on when you say that. That's great.
Is there anything there that you think is?
No, I mean that. No,
I could pretty much read it to my kids. I'm gonna cut this out and
I'm making an Instagram post today. I'm gonna give it.
That is your Instagram.
Is that him?
Yeah.
No, I mean, did he say those things or is that a quote for somebody else?
No, I think he wrote it.
Yeah, because it's not really those.
And it's hand chiseled, and it's in the beautiful, and it's got pictures of family. Always keep your word.
That was, I mean, help me with the history of this. He quit being the Marlboro man once the Surgeon General came out.
Yeah.
How long? But how long did he stay? You know what I mean? Like, did he quit?
6 or 7 years. I mean, he was the original Marlboro man. There was other right. Marlboro mans after him, but the original Marlboro man.
So he was pre-Surgeon General.
Actually, it was the, 1955 is when he took the job.
Okay.
And then in 1964, so about 9 years.
Is when okay, and then and the Surgeon General stuff was somewhat after that. Oh, yeah, it was actually after that, right?
1964, yes, 9 years after he started. But he never smoked.
Yeah, but that's even more hypocritical. Right? That's like that that's even more hypocritical.
Yeah.
If you know that it could.
I was at a gas station yesterday and some dude was walking in to get a pack of cigarettes and you could tell people that smoke cigarettes, man, are just looked upon as like scumbags.
think about how much that's changed. I mean, we won't do a whole segment on that, but think about how much that's changed. I mean, what an amazing. I mean,
he was like, you know, there was another guy over the vape thing looking at the vape things, and yeah. You could tell he was kind of embarrassed, and I'm kind of like.
Well, vaping's.
Yeah, let me have a pack of my rolls. Yeah. Menthol.
The vaping thing is like, that's.
And there's another gal up there that she's probably 80.
She's vaping?
Smokes like a chimney.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go up there, she's smoking. You know what I'm talking about? Sweet lady.
Is her voice like yours?
No, she yeah. Sounds nice.
Okay.
She's super nice.
Smoking
she likes it.
Light? Menthols?
Yeah. Probably menthols.
My mom would used to make me pack her cigarette. She had a, when she went out, like a little gold, like a little thing to hold your cigarettes. It was a very fancy thing that she would have. And so my job was to go and grab the, she smoked Shermans.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Shermans?
Oh, yeah.
The brown ones, the little cigars. And so my job was to get those and put them in her little gold thing for when she, only when she went out.
My dad, I think a carton of
God,
cigarettes.
Just think about what, you know what they're going to, like, they're not our kids. Our kids are going to say, you remember my dad would make me go call the pot dealer, have it delivered, you know, get him his gummies. That's what we're going to be.
My dad would, I remember him getting a carton of cigarettes. He'd get a carton of cigarettes every Sunday. I think there were $21 for a carton of cigarettes. Not how many, 12
what is
packs.
It now, like 80, 90?
It's like, yeah, it's like $100. I mean, the whole idea of just taxing people out of submission to get them to stop smoking don't work.
It did work.
I remember people saying, if it gets to $6 a pack, right. I'm stopping. Well, it's $6 a pack, and you just smoked them a little slower. It works, I guess, from that standpoint. But now they burn a lot quicker. I smoked a cigarette about a year ago. I don't remember why. I don't remember.
You lose your mind?
And I just couldn't believe it because it lasted like 60
because
seconds.
Because you're used to smoking cigars. That's why.
Man, I was sucking too hard.
On the cigarette?
Yeah.
No, that's the whole thing. You watch people who smoke cigars for the first time and their only model of smoking a cigar was either like cigarettes or a joint.
Yeah.
And then they switch over to cigars and they're puffing on it like it's, you know, and you're like, dude, just... You're going to get super sick.
Yeah.
And they're smoking it.
Remember my dad coming home from work one morning, and we had like 25 stuffed animals, and we put them all in the living room to set them up, and we put a cigarette in all their mouths. So all the stuffed animals were, I wish I had a picture of it. It was classic.
For like a joke for your dad? Or?
Yeah, because we were playing house.
Oh, okay.
The stuffed animals were hanging around the house. And so we get bobby pins and stuck them through the filters. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you stick a pin through a filter, it ruins the cigarette. And so we ruined an entire pack of cigarettes, and Dad was not happy when he walked in the door. I just think back, I mean, just, and this was, you know, 35, 40 years ago, but just no seatbelts.
Yeah.
Station wagons, sitting in mom's lap, going down the interstate 75 miles
while
an hour.
Smoking.
While she's smoking, with the windows up, going to church. We used to have four kids in the front seat of the car.
It was such a
simpler, wonderful time.
Okay, but so listen.
Riding our bikes with no helmets.
Okay, so stop. So I want to ask you this, because you get the, not you, but you get this all the time. See? Life now is too restrictive. We're wussifying everybody.
No, we're just dying differently now.
No, but so that, I'm going to ask you this, like, because I have a very specific view about this. So I grew up like you, same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And I made it. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that all the things that we changed, seatbelt laws, smoking actually being a thing?
I love this question. Go ahead.
No. The seatbelts, the helmets, and all that thing. Do you think, not that we're better off as a society, I don't want you to go that broad, mm-hmm. but do you think that those acts are good or unnecessary? That they shouldn't have, that we should be now still in, forget, hold everything else constant, everything else, forget everything else. Should we still be in cars with no seatbelts, riding bikes with no helmets, smoking cigarettes? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I think we all these safety precautions are better for us, and we've saved hundreds of thousands of lives because of them. But
okay,
ultimately, what makes us do what we do?
Joy,
money, and it all came down to liability. Because the minute you had a crash and you got killed and you're not wearing your seatbelt, I mean, it's all liability. It's all insurance. It's all money driven. A lot of it was. It was about safety.
Yeah.
Because if 100,000 people are dying a year because they're not wearing their seatbelts, that causes our insurance to go up. And when our insurance goes up, then people still need to start wearing, and then they turn them into laws. And so everything's money driven.
Money and safety. Listen, I will tell you.
But more people are dying every year in this country than have ever died. Because of other things. So we're finding different ways to kill each other. We're saving our lives because we don't smoke as many cigarettes, and now we're vaping.
More people are dying. But we've removed the ones that would have died from that cause. You're making an assumption that those people who didn't wear seatbelts, now they're dying from something else, which is possible, or we would have even more people die. The number one, if you ask people who do sort of public health kind of interventions, mm-hmm. the number one most cost-effective intervention that we've ever done at the population level is mandate seatbelts. From a saving lives, the cost of the intervention.
We couldn't find the seatbelts in our car.
No, I know.
They were stuffed in the seat. They'd be on the bottom. I know people that did wear seatbelts. The driver usually wore the seatbelts. We didn't even have the shoulder harnesses.
No, you know.
It was just the one across the top. The shoulder harness was kind of, you know, they're not making us wearing a Hans device yet or anything. But and there were some people that did wear seatbelts. But I remember when the mandate came down, by then I was already wearing a seatbelt because I knew it was going to protect me. And certainly when I first started driving at 16, 17, my dad was like, you're going to be in an accident. You're wearing a belt because it's going to protect you. And I know a lot of people didn't like the mandate. I mean, you're not going to tell me what, it took 20 years.
Yep.
And it took police officers giving out tickets because you weren't wearing seatbelts.
What I'm saying is the data though is very clear. It has saved more lives. The intervention, right? Making it a law is one of the most cost-effective ways to get people to do things that are healthy,
yeah.
Right? So I'll tell you this. My dad and grandfather were in the car industry.
Yep.
And so, you know, as the seatbelt thing evolved over time, first it was just the belt, then it was the harness, or actually it was first the belt, and then the belt that had the alarm on it, mm-hmm. or the beeping, and the way you got by that is you just hooked it behind you and then you were good. Mm-hmm. Then it had the harness that came down, then it had the harness that had the electric, okay. So both my dad and my grandfather would tell you, they'd have people come in all the time. I'll buy that car only if you disarm. Not disarm, like get rid of the harness thing. And then people were learning how to hack the harness thing.
That's when you could still turn back odometers.
Yes. Yeah. It was the same thing. And if you think about it, I'm just going to say it, it's like vaccination only instead of being in your body. The amount of disgust and frustration over something like a seatbelt. You know, now forget that it's mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing me. No. I can't wear the seatbelt. You know,
yeah.
I'm of the age where I wore it, but my parents weren't used to wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the ones that would have to say, "Mom, put your seatbelt on." My mom would be holding it and she'd move it. I'm not, Mom, you got to put the seatbelt on. But think about it. To me, that's the same. It's almost the same as masks.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes a long time for finally the people just, and again, in most cases, people have to want to do it on their own. They have to want to wear the mask, and then they're okay doing it.
Well, unless
like my 14-year-old son.
They're, like you said, tickets. Unless, until which time we get, and I'm not saying we're going to do this. Actually,
Maybe.
Not a mask. We're gonna, well, no, but again, it's I think unlike seatbelts, it's market driven, right? It can be more. Seatbelts were kind of hard to be market driven because the cars had to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't have the free market sort of drive it the way it is now, which is you can't come in here unless you wear a mask. You can't come to this venue unless you're vaccinated.
Yeah, well, there's a cool factor there too.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't cool to wear a seatbelt for a long period of time.
It's the helmet thing.
Yeah, it's not cool. And I'm sorry, but I will not wear a helmet when I'm riding my bicycle.
I don't.
I won't make my kids
wear it.
If we're going hiking on a back trail or we're going down the interstate on our bicycle, sure. But if my kids are just running their bicycles around the neighborhood, I'm not making them wear a helmet. That's ridiculous.
Totally agree. What about if you had a motorcycle? Helmet guy?
Yeah, I'm a helmet guy and a motorcycle. But there's still states that don't allow that.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, you're going 75 miles an hour, and I don't want to die. So, you know, I'm not maybe not going to wear all the padding and everything else that goes along with it. But yeah, I'm going to wear a helmet. It's interesting because we're living through this.
Yes, that's what's interesting because we're living through it right now.
And we remember how it was, and things were very simple, and there wasn't so much chaos, and there wasn't so much information.
Yep.
And man, if you went out and got a brand new 27 inch TV, it was like the best thing of the year. And now people just go out and buy TVs just because there's a Super Bowl coming up.
It's
kind of crazy. And I know I'm going to date myself here, but I have thought, you know, if this was 1975, I was 9 years old, and we were going through this COVID thing right now, it'd be over. It would have been over already.
Actually, interesting that you said it's 1975.
Or 1980.
No, the reason I said 75 is would we still be picking up on sort of the late 60s, early 70s sort of protest vibe?
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Maybe a little bit. But we are getting so factioned.
Yeah.
We talked about the Facebook groups. Everyone's got their group. Everyone wants to be part of something special. Yep. They want to be part of their group. They want to create a group.
Yep.
And it's weird because I still think we are united as a nation in a lot of different ways, but we're as separate as we've ever been. And we're trying to figure this out because we all have these different ideas and different beliefs and religions and blah, 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 which is what a free society does. But at the same time, I'm telling you right now, if it was 1975, this COVID thing would have been over in 6 months.
Well, part of it.
Because we would have gotten...
You know why? The other reason is, and again, I say the same thing.
We can blame our politicians for a lot of this.
Well, politicians...
Because back then, regardless of whether it was Nixon or JFK cheating or whatever, that was the end all. The buck did stop there. And if the government said, this is what we're doing as a country, then my dad was like, damn it, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
My dad was the first one.
Think about the whole protests. Think about protests the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You were calling into question. I think it's exactly what you said. We are living through, we are all experiencing right now what hopefully 20 and 30 years they'll look back and they will look at the protests and they will look at the vaxxers and anti-vaxxers. And listen, if you do your history and you look at smallpox and you look at polio and you look at even the 1970 flu, there were anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers, the whole thing.
Yeah,
now I think the difference is because we didn't have social media, because we didn't have the internet, and we didn't have as many sources of information that could be powerfully given to you. And again, I'm not talking about social media companies doing it. We have this thing. We have this technology. You know, I've been watching a lot of Avengers.
Yeah.
So we have this power. I can't remember the name of the power, the crystal thing, that we are not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it into this universe. It has changed our lives. And we are, now the question is, can we evolve to adapt to it? I know I'm sounding very apocalyptic, but it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because we look at the information that's coming in, and you're right, in the 70s there were six sources of information, or three. And people would even argue, well, that was bad. Because if there was manipulation or, you know, malicious intent, we had no way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're so messed up because we don't know what to look at.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that, to me, that is why this thing keeps prolonging and prolonging. And the biggest difference now with a pandemic that is different than social unrest, that is different than political unrest, that is different than violence and all that stuff, is now we're talking about a biological agent.
Yeah.
That's what makes this fundamentally different. And the only times you had that were when you had smallpox and rubella and polio. And listen, with smallpox, we got to the point where it was a mandate. And that's on the table right now. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the fact that it's on the table, we're living through history right now.
If 20 years ago, it's 2021, say it's 2001. People are going to think of 9/11. Let's go 15 years ago. Let's say 2006.
Yep.
Someone said there's going to be a virus that comes out in 2018, 2019, 2020, whatever came out. And it's going to be brutal, and there's going to be asymptomatic people, and it's going to ravage the world, not just your country, but there's not going to be a country on the face of this earth that's not going to be affected dramatically by this particular virus. Just hold on. And you're like, okay, I'm listening. As far as we know at this point, it will kill roughly 5 million people across the world. It is going to ravage things, not knowing even what the virus was, how it affected us, but we knew it's going to kill 5 million people and it was going to affect the entire world, shut down economies, everything for over a year. What would you think?
Nah. No, I mean, so listen, you'd have to remove, because I've sat in the world of public health for a long time, not that I thought this was going to happen, but I had done enough exercises that we saw the scenarios. But even when we played the scenarios, even when we did the preparation, there was a part of my brain going, I mean, I knew that logically and scientifically could happen, but it's almost like a defense. It was almost like a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I don't want to think that, because I saw the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, and it scared the living crap out of me. And anybody who has not seen that movie, go watch that movie. Did it not just, it absolutely, you're like, holy, you know. So what I would have said, nah. I mean,
it was a cheesy movie, but it was a good movie.
But what I would have said is, I understand it could happen, but I don't think it will.
Yeah.
Because here's where, you know, my whole Josh's loss in faith of humanity thing. Because if you told me this is what's going to happen, and people are going to die, and first people are going to get sick, and then people are going to die, and hospitals are going to fill up, and you know, the only way to prevent this, or the only way to fix it, will be to either keep away and keep the numbers from spreading, herd immunity. I mean, we have the same problem with the flu and cold. Mm-hmm. So I would understand that. And you would have told me, but there's no vaccination for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have said, oh my God, well, all right, we're going to have to keep our distance. We have to keep our distance. We can't be there. And then we got to invent a vaccination. That's what I would think. And I think, okay, what'll happen is people will sort of hang on and for the most part, do what they need to do. And then we'll get a vaccination and then we'll all be okay. That's my thought. Mm-hmm. So this last 2 years, you are tempering me. This has blown my mind. Mm-hmm. Because for all the good and all that kind of stuff, the absolute denial, self-focus, doubling down, gullible, naive. Like, I've seen more stuff in the last 2 years. I literally could not have, as much as I could not fathom the pandemic,
mm-hmm,
that you just told me about, if you would have said, well, yeah, and people are going to be talking about different kinds of drugs and they're going to be trying those things, I could even understand that, home mm-hmm remedies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if you said, well, some of them are parasitic, you know, horse pills, I'd be like, well, okay, that's a little stretch. But if you would have said to me, and there'll be a vaccination, but no one, you know, but lots of people won't want to take it, et cetera, I'd be like, really? I that's the piece to me that's blown my mind. Mm-hmm. I think more so than the pandemic is that we have not been able to be united. And it is, you said this about 9/11, post 9/11. That's really depressing to me.
Yeah. What if we found out about this in 2019? Before it actually happened.
Found out what?
In 2019, earlier 2019, in January, someone said, okay, there's going to be this virus that's going to affect the entire world over the next couple of years.
Oh, found out about before it sort of started.
Before it even started. Okay. And there were some people that were actually saying this, but we weren't listening because we never seen anything like before. Like, that's not possible.
Actually, no, that's a really, listen, there were lots of people, CDC, infectious, yeah, going, we're not ready. But yes.
Yeah. And if we treat it the way that we know now history has showed us, because we've lived through it, that 5 million people are going to die, and that it's going to shut down things, and you're going to lose your job, and blah, 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 blah. But we were told all these things, and we knew it as fact.
Yeah.
This is what will happen. It was biblical. It was like in Revelations, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, okay, but we can change it.
Look at you.
We can change it.
You should run for president.
Now, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Would we live it the same way again? The same way?
This is going to play my political
card. If people knew it as fact, I'm not talking conspiracy. If someone said, we found an old newspaper from 2021.
It's like one of your history.
We know this is Back to the Future. We know that 5 million people will lose that. We don't know who.
Yeah.
We don't know. But we can tell you right now, the United States is going to be right there in the forefront. That's going to be the worst country. Okay. So it hadn't started yet.
Right.
So what do y'all suppose we do? And we know that we had a vaccination halfway through it and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh. So what do y'all think we should do? Do you think we'd react the same way?
Yeah.
I do too.
Because exactly what
knowing. I'm talking if every person on the face of the earth knew it to be true and said, okay, this is prophesied.
Because they knew it to be true, and then we start doing all of the mental gymnastics, the psychological gymnastics. It's the hurricane that's not going to hit me. It's the tornado that's not going to hit me. I'm going to be fine. It's many of the exact same things we're doing right now. I'm going to be okay. I'm healthy. I eat vitamins. I've lived through the war, blah, 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 blah. You can't tell me what to do. Even though I know this to be true, I need it to be my choice. You know, I mean, I saw on local news, I saw a poster of it was a mom holding at a school board meeting that said, my child, it was about masks.
Yep.
My child, my choice.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, it is.
That is the most. Really? And then they interviewed, it wasn't that child, but they interviewed a high school senior who's like, literally, this is what she said. I just wish everybody would stop arguing about this. Yep. Right? So you got these kids, and this is the thing to me is my child, my choice, I'll do it with my phone. This is exactly what would happen if we knew it'd be too true. And to me, the sad thing is that you have kids who, many of whom can't get vaccinated, some can, who are like literally like shut up to but stop. We got the GD mask on.
Yep.
Look, I got my mask on. It's, you know, we saw the video of the video guy on the airplane chewing on his mask and growling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's not the most pathetic example of human behavior, I don't even care. This got to do with a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is? It's exactly what you said. We live in a free country, and damn it, we get to do whatever we want to do. Yep. And
you're right.
And here we are.
Yep. And here we are.
Here we are. And then, you know, other people would say, we're doing the best we can. We're doing the best we can. And that's when I say, no, we're not.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
We can do a little better.
We could do.
The numbers are looking better, by the way. I think we've hit our apex, at least according to the news I saw last night. We're at the top, and we're starting to come down again.
That's what we said
because the CDC came out yesterday and said, now's not the time to rest on your laurels.
But we've said that. Do you know how many times we've said that? No.
17 times. This is the 17th time the CDC says, we're looking better. Don't rest on your laurels. Now's not the time to stop wearing your mask.
You know what this is? This is so bad because this is, and I'm saying this, and this absolutely breaks my heart because people are literally dying. But this is exactly like watching a sporting game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got them.
You're up by 30.
Yeah, but like, don't mess it up now.
Don't play prevent defense now.
Right, and then someone commits a stupid foul.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the momentum starts changing all over again.
You know what that is? That's the super spreader event concert, right? That everyone's going to because they get all excited, and then the momentum changes, and then the team loses.